Amen. Good morning. It's good to see you today, and I'm glad that today is the first day that we kick off our winter revival, and man, what a crowd today, and even with a lot of sick families, and we got some snowbirds and COVID just pressing down on our city, I just want to say thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us online this morning, and originally, I just want to make a quick note that tonight, we were supposed to meet at 5 o'clock, but there was an unexpected scheduling conflict, and we had to push it back to 6. Now, here's the thing. You better be here tonight. You better make a decision right now. If you want the Lord to bless the Chiefs tonight, right? You need to just right now, if God's going to speak, and if you're going to see him move in mysterious ways come 3 o'clock today, you better make a commitment to be here. And here's the thing. If they win, let's come celebrate Jesus tonight. Amen? Right? Amen? And if they lose, you're going to need to hear a word from God. Either way, you need to be here tonight, right? So anyways, I'm so glad that you're here. And for years, we've done missions revivals, missions conferences, and we've had times that we've set aside in our church to really just hear from God. And that's what we want to do this week, is we want to just set aside time where we listen to what God has to say to us. We want to hear what God needs to say to us as individuals. We need to hear that as families. And then ultimately, we need to hear what God needs to say to us as a church. And I've been preaching and sharing with you over the last several weeks that it just feels like, and there's this sense of general fatigue in our world right now, in our country. And even in the church, there's just this sense of weariness. And I don't know about you, but I certainly need to hear from the Lord. And I couldn't think of anyone better, and he was here with us last year, to come and preach to our church this week, other than my friend Tom Wagner. And we sat last night and had dinner, and it just dawned on me, this May, I will have been in ministry for 20 years. And not only that, but for 18 of those years, Pastor Tom has been my friend. He's been a mentor, a coach, and a counselor to me throughout all the years. He's seen me and to some degree helped raise me in ministry. And so some of you are like, well, man, Pastor Jason, he's a little off sometimes. Well, you should have seen me way back when, right? And he's been a faithful friend, and he is powerful in the Word of God. And I hope that right now, today, this morning, that you'll make plans and make every effort to be here every night this week. And I promise you, you'll be the better for it. So would you guys do me a favor and just welcome Brother Tom as he comes to the platform this morning.
Bring it. Thank you, buddy. You know, if God moves the way I'm anticipating moving today and tonight, it won't be a problem for us all to be back. I know some of you have never been back for a revival meeting. In fact, it's almost something that folks don't talk about anymore. Listen to this, 7% of churches above 200 even call the congregation to renewal and repentance anymore. Is that an indictment on the day that we live in? Because he's right, there is a morale issue in our churches. And it's because of sin, and it's because of the enemy. He doesn't want a church to be on fire and experiencing the glorious presence of God. Now, I can tell there's some good things going on here, and I'm so glad. I just came to fan the flame for these days, and I'm looking forward to our time together. Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 15? If you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 15 this morning, and we'll visit a little more. But I want to preach on the one person that's been present in every single revival all the way through Scripture. The one person that's been present in every revival in the first century, in the second century. Every time God moved in the 20th century or is moving in this 21st century, and I'm going to tell you a few of those stories, it was because this one person was present. Someone has said that Jesus was on the earth for 33 and a half years, and we talk about him a lot, and I think we should, and the ministry of this person I'm going to talk about is pointing us to Jesus. But the Holy Spirit's been around for 2,000 plus years. When Jesus went and ascended to the Father, he was still here, and he's here this morning. If you believe that, will you say amen one time? I want us to talk about the ministry of the Spirit, and I'm going to tell you why. Because you're experiencing some blessing in your church, some additions, and a lot of good things are happening. However, if you think for a moment we're enjoying the wave of power and the glory that we could be experiencing, I want to tell you, I'm hearing some wonderful things going on all over our country. In Hendersonville, Tennessee, last year, from the month of January to May, the Long Hollow Baptist Church baptized 1,200 people. in that period of time. Let me tell you how that happened. That didn't happen because they have a great leader, though they do. It happened because the wind of heaven, the Holy Spirit of God, was not grieved or quenched, and he had power to move in that moment. Not only that, I have a friend out in Aledo, Texas, by the name of Clark Bossier. I think your pastor knows him, Willow Park Baptist Church. He was telling me they saw 340 people saved from October, I think, through December of last year. Last year, I preached, a couple years ago, I preached at a camp out in Ohio, and a young girl, a teenage girl, I'm glad to see you young people here at the front and scattered everywhere else too, but she was about 15 years old, I believe. She was a volleyball player on her public high school volleyball team. And during the camp that week, she got under a real burden for those girls. She loved them. She'd grown up with them, had been in school with them all that time. But the Spirit of God that I'm going to preach about this morning so filled that girl when she went home, she was a different kid. Her mom and dad saw that she was different. Everybody in her neighborhood, in her church, saw she was different. And she started inviting those girls. Well, guess what happened, Ellie? They started coming, one after the other, And then they started getting saved. And they started sitting right down front. The pastor calls me on the phone, my buddy Josh Dixon. He said, "Brother Tom, I don't know what's happening, but almost all the girls on that volleyball team are here every Sunday. And now their mom and dads are coming. And they're getting saved too." Imagine that, Zach. Imagine God stirring a church through the student ministry because of one girl who said, "I'm willing for the Holy Ghost to work in my life." Now, I'm going to say some things real encouraging this morning. And then I'm going to say some things that are going to smart just a little bit. But I'm not starting fresh. I was here last year, so we're going to pick up where we left off. And I want you to notice with me four things, real quick in introduction. Four things that I'm asking Jesus. In fact, I'm believing that Jesus is going to do because of the work of the Spirit. And they're found. We're going to begin reading in verse 30 through 32. And I'm going to lift one little phrase out for my message in just a moment or two. And I'll be reading from the King James translation. Thanks for allowing me to do that. I'm a little older and my memory work is here and I get confused when I look at other things. So look at verse 30. "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Let me stop for a moment and tell you the same thing that Paul was saying to the believers in Rome, I'm saying to you. Thank you for every one of you that lifted my name before the Lord. Even though I'm not the guy that's going to bring it. I can tell you right now, the reason I'm preaching on the Holy Ghost this morning is because when we see what God's going to do this week, and for the record, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm a faith preacher. I can see it. I know it's going to happen. And it all starts with beginning to pray. So thanks for praying. Now look at verse 31. Notice these four things. This is not my message now, my introduction. Here it is. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. He said, I'm looking for some faith people. Lord, deliver me from the people that don't believe. Now look, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're not careful, the spirit of doubt and unbelief will grab you right now and say, what would make us think that we're going to experience a genuine revival this week? All we know of churches that have revivals is they have meetings, they start, they end, everything remains the same. Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God moving in a church. I've seen this happen. Not just the great big stories I just told you. I'm talking about stirring going on. And here's what I want to say to you. All it's going to take is I just need a few faith people from that section right over there. And two or three from right here, and I bet there's some on the front row. And maybe one from this. This looks like the carnal group right here. Maybe one from this section. And two or three from over here. Listen, all it's going to take is a few of us that will believe God together in unified faith. He said, number one, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe. Number one, give me some faith, people. Number two, look at the second thing I'm asking God for and believing Him for this week, that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. You know what that means? That means what I have to offer and what I'm bringing to you from the throne of God, through the Spirit of God, through His Word, that you'll receive it. Don't you listen to that. That my service may be received. In other words, I'm not just going to sit there, listen to it, let it go in one ear and out the other. No. If God speaks to me, I'm going to say yes to God. I'm going to obey what He says. If I need to respond forward, I'm going to respond forward. If I need to make something right with somebody else, I'm going to make something right with somebody else. If I need to make something right in my family, with my husband or wife, of many years or few years, or our students, I'm going to do it. He said that my service might be accepted of the saints. Will you go ahead and make up your mind to that right now? Would you do it for Jesus? Not for me, not for your church, but for Him. Number one, I'm going to believe God. Pastor, I'm going to believe with you that we're going to see Jesus move this week. Number two, not only that, I'm going to believe that when God speaks to me, I'm going to be responding to that. I'm going to receive the gift. Look at the third thing. The Bible says, this is my part, by the way, and I got this one covered, that I might come unto you, verse 32, with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not here because I have to be. Let me tell you what I had to do in order to get here. Now, I'm not joking. This was a mess on the way here. I'm not kidding you. Snow. When it snows in North Carolina, when it snows here, y'all are used to it, and they're moving around. When it snows in North Carolina, it paralyzes us. They shut the schools down at the first flurry. I'm not kidding you. It was bad. Last two weekends, snow. I was scheduled for full meetings, and instead I preached on Sunday mornings only last 2 weeks in different churches. And Terry and I are looking at the weather, and sure enough, and when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, why, Lord, on weekends? I mean, you tell me that. Let it snow on Tuesday. Why can't it snow on Tuesday in North Carolina? But I saw where it was going to be an issue, and so I called James Neal, who helps me book reservations. He's on my staff, and he found a flight out late afternoon on Friday instead of flying out on Saturday like we had planned to. And by the way, the flight on Saturday, canceled. We wouldn't have been here Monday or Tuesday. Not that I'm the key to it, but God had given me, He'd give me something to preach now in these services, and I'm delivering to you what God's given to me for Southgate and for these days. And so I called the pastor. He said, do what you need to do. Just get here. And I talked to Terry about it, so we decided we would leave. And we thought, oh, this is going to be smooth, man. 4:23, we're flying out of Raleigh-Durham, 4:23, into Atlanta. Man, we'll have plenty of time to grab a bite to eat. Terry, you remember this? We're going to get something good to eat in Atlanta. They got a lot of good. We're going to eat. Then we'll climb on that little plane, and we'll fly over here. And we'll be here by, Derek will pick us up. What, well, we're going to be here like 10 o'clock that night. Oh, no, no, no. We get to Atlanta, and we, no, we don't get to Atlanta. From Raleigh-Durham flying to Atlanta, they come on, and we fly a lot. I don't hear this hardly at all. We're having to, you might have noticed, and we noticed time's getting, we can't fly into Atlanta wind shear, and it's going to be this bad for quite some time. So we're flying to Knoxville. I'm thinking, when they first said we're having to divert to a different airport, I'm saying, Lord, Springfield, God. No, Knoxville. We get over to Knoxville, and we sit for 5 hours in that plane, on that runway. Now look, I'm thinking to myself, Lord, I can either remain in the spirit or I can get in the flesh right here just in a minute, pitch a real fit. And people all around me, there was a woman with a service dog in front of us, and the first thing she asked for, is you got any alcohol? Is there any alcohol on this? You know what the lady said? It was just a one-hour flight from Raleigh-Durham over to Atlanta, so no, we have nothing. I'm thinking, yes! You know, but we're sitting there waiting. Finally, they said, things are better in Atlanta. The wind is calm. We're going to fly you in. But then we get there. This is no joke. Now, I'm going to tell this quick because I got a message here. There's a line as long as all the way around this church in the Atlanta airport, which is one of the nation's largest airports, of people waiting 3 and 4 deep to get to the service center for Delta and those other ones to find a flight because everything they had, Zach, had been canceled. And I get off that plane. I'm trying to maintain faith here. And I know God has a plan for us to be here. And we walked by him, and I said, please tell me this is not a line to get down to those trains to get to the other. And we're thinking, oh, our flight's left. You know, my faith is waning at this point. And Terry's pitching fits. And no, she really did all right in the airport this time. And we get on the train. We go over to our gate. And we get there. Guess what's happened? It's delayed. But thank God it's delayed. Because then we stepped on that thing about 30 minutes later, flew in, bless his heart, picked us up. Old Derek did about midnight, 12:30. We got in. Look, all I'm telling you, you say, why you tell us all? I have no idea. I just felt like I need to tell that. I want somebody to know what I went through. Will you sympathize with us, please? No, here's, thank you, by the way, for the flight. But here's what I want you to know. Even with all that, I'm coming, number three, with joy by the will of God. It is the will of God that you be here this week. It's the will of God that I be here this week. And I'm not going to come in here moaning and groaning. I'm going to come in here with the joy of the Lord. And I'm going to come in the will of God. I'm asking you to do the same thing. Dad, can I say to you, there may be something God wants to do in the life of one of your children. Please don't rob them of that. Mom, I want to challenge you, whatever you have to do, if you've got to make a sandwich and eat it in the car on your way here, or eat afterwards, or whatever it takes. He said, I want to come by the will of God with joy and be refreshed. I think we're going to experience refreshment. And then finally, he said, look at this. This is my favorite one. Verse 31, may the God, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Here's the fourth thing I'm believing God for, that he's going to be here. That his presence is going to be here. You're going to walk in and feel his presence. I told Pastor Derek on the way over, Dr. Workman, let me tell you what I told him. I said, I want us to be so sensitive to the Holy Ghost this week that if God lays a song upon your heart that's not on the deal, and we're supposed to sing it, or if there's one he puts his cap on that is for this meeting as a theme, let's do it every night. He said, I'm in. And I said, look, if the Spirit of God nudges my heart after one song and it's something I'm about to preach and the Spirit's already high, would it offend you if I stepped up right then and preached? Here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about obeying the Holy Spirit of God. And for the record, you can't get the same of what we're going to get around here this week watching a screen. I promise you won't. You'll get a little dab of it, but it won't be the same as what we experience in these days. So, Pastor, what do you want to talk about tonight? Well, let me give it to you quickly. I don't want to preach long because I want you to come back. I want you to look at that little phrase in verse 30. The love of the Spirit. I beseech you for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and the love of the Spirit. Father, would you take the few minutes that I have and these four things we're asking you for, God, and would you, in the name of your Son Jesus, would you blow upon this service and this meeting, I pray, Lord, we would fall in love with your Holy Ghost again and through him to you, Jesus, and you, Father. And I pray, God, that in these days we would know more of the ministry of the Spirit through the genuine revival that we believe you have for us this week. Teach us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've read through this text many times, and I remember hearing an old man preach on it in the mountains of North Carolina in an old-fashioned camp meeting one day. He referred to the love of the Spirit. And here's what I thought as a young preacher. Does this mean he loves me? Does this mean I'm to love him? Lord, tell me how you're using this phrase, the love of the Holy Spirit. I hear everybody talk about the importance of loving Jesus. And we sing of the love of God. It's greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. But what about the Spirit? Is he not just as much God as the Father is God? Is he not just as much God as Jesus, the Son, is God? I would say to you, he absolutely is the third person of the Godhead. And the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a person. He can be grieved. He can be vexed. You can be filled with him. You're indwelt by him at salvation. But I feel that he's relegated to outside the door, and when we need him, we call upon him, but we really don't depend on him to be the leader. He is the administrator of the will of God in the local church. And when he's invited, when he's welcomed, glorious things begin to happen. When trying to understand this ministry of the Spirit when it comes to love, the Lord took me, and keep your finger here in chapter 15, and turn back to Romans 5 just for a minute and look at one phrase that the Holy Spirit really used in my life. While you're turning, may I remind you, the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. You say, well, I just can't understand some things in the Bible. Well, that's because you're not looking to the teacher. The Bible says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. First Peter says, he's the one that oversaw Paul and Peter and others who wrote the Bible. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. And the Bible says, I wish I had time to read all of it, and hope maketh not ashamed, here it is, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. By who? By the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Now I want you to think of that, and think of that phrase, the love of the Spirit, and let me lift three quick things for you. Number one, if the love of God is shed abroad in my heart, in my heart and your heart by the Holy Ghost, let me tell you what I believe the love of the Spirit, three facets of this love of the Spirit. Number one, the Spirit of God, listen, is the one who showed you and who showed me how much God loves me, how much God loves you. You think you figured that out on your own? No, it was the Spirit who revealed to you that God loved you. Remember when you were lost? Maybe you're here today and you've never put your faith in Jesus. That uncomfortable feeling of drawing you, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that showed you how much God loves you. Let me go step two. We're still at number one. This is the first facet. Did you know it was the Holy Spirit that showed you that Jesus loves you as well? It all came through the Word of God. The incorruptible seed. Through the Scriptures we saw that God loves me and Jesus loves me. That's what made me run to Him. I ran to Him when I found out He loved me. My father drank himself to death when I was just a little boy. I didn't have a father in my life, and I found out there was a Father who wanted to love me and forgive me and make me a part of His family and would accept me just the way I am and do the changing that needed to be done. I fell in love with Him. But He, the Holy Spirit, is the one that showed me that God loves me and that Jesus loves me. I didn't figure that out by myself. The Spirit of God shed that love abroad in my heart. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Number one, you see, the love of the Spirit is how the Spirit shows us how much God and Jesus loves us. Number two, the second facet of this love of the Spirit truth is this. Who do you think showed you and is showing you how to love God? You see, it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us how to worship, how to love God, how to love. By the way, I'm all for atmospheres of worship. I love to worship. I love the songs we did. I love your band. I thank God for them. You're in a blessed church to be in an environment like this. But did you know all the enthusiasm and all the instruments and all the movements and everything else we do, if our heart is not drawn to a place of love and affection and passion for God, then genuine worship has not been experienced. And I want to tell you who's teaching me right now how to love God. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the one teaching me. He's the one revealing. You see, not only is He showing me, number one, how much they love me, He's showing me how to love God and how to love Jesus. Do you remember what He said in His Word about how we're to love God? Say this with me if you remember it. We're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. He's the one in His Word that revealed that to us. And He's the one that revealed God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. I'm telling you, this love of the Spirit involves He helps us understand how much God loves us. He also helps us know how to love God and love Jesus. Here's one more. Did you know it's the Holy Spirit that helps you know how to love others? I know some people, they're not real lovely. They're not easy to love. But you know, I can't hate anybody. Can you do that? Who's the quarterback of the opposing team today? Anybody know who it is? Who? Burroughs? You don't hate him. You might despise him. You don't really like him. Yeah. Pastor, they might know the books of the Bible. They know Joe Burroughs. I'll tell you, Burroughs. You know who that is? Look here. My wife's a sports fan in our family. I told you this last year. I can't name many people. I know the quarterback of your team because he knows God, and he talks about that sometimes. Honestly, there's very little bit I know about. I watch the Hallmark Channel. I do. I love the Hallmark Channel. Chick flicks are my thing. Terry doesn't care a thing about it. We're like, I'm the woman in the relationship. She watches the, and she's already told me we've got to be home. I've got to watch this game, you know, today. Or back to the hotel. Here's what I want you to know, though. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit teaches me how to love others. Let me tell you what's going to happen this week. Some of you men, God's going to speak to you this week. And you're going to understand loving a renewed love for your wife or your children. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about what I see week after week. When the Spirit of God is free, when we're full of Him, we begin to see how easy it is for us to love ourselves, for us to love our interests, instead of loving God and loving Jesus and loving others. Finally, one last thing in this facet of love, the love of the Spirit, is this. The love of the Spirit is not only understanding, number one, how much He loves us. God loves us. Jesus loves us. It's also the Holy Spirit that helps us know how to love God and love Jesus and love others. But did you know the Holy Spirit loves you? Do you have any concept on that the understanding of how much He loves you? I want you to think about it. And did you know His early love for you is without beginning? His early love for you is without beginning. Before you were ever born, He knew you. In childhood, He strove with you. He put you in situations. Well, I don't like the way I grew up. Well, look, it might have taken that for your hard head. God knew what you needed, and the Holy Ghost was there to preside over and bring us to Him. It was the Spirit who moved us and drew us and convicted us. It was the Holy Spirit, when we wanted to run from Him, that kept pursuing us. We rejected and we blasphemed Him, and He still loved us. You remember the day when He pulled the curtain back in your life and showed you Jesus? You say, oh, that was a soul winner that did that. No, no, that was a witness that sat beside you. The Holy Ghost is a soul winner. He's the one that showed you Jesus. I want to tell you, there is no love like the love of the Spirit. Now, really quickly, let me apply this. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 5 in your Bible. And I want to tell you something as you're turning. Acts chapter 5. I want you to think about the person in this world right now, alive, that loves you the most. The person that loves you the most in this world. You know, for me, it may be one of my grandchildren. I don't know. Could be my little 93-year-old mother at home. But I can sense words and deeds and even see in their eyes their love. Did you know, I don't want to hurt the people who love me the most. I never want to hurt them. If the Holy Spirit loves you as I've just described, you don't want to hurt Him. And yet, the harm we do to the Spirit is what's hindering genuine, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost revival. And so I want to preach to you real quick and name four, at least four, sins against the Holy Spirit. Four of them, at least four. There are more in Scripture. I just want to take time to give you four of them. Number one, first of all, chapter 5 of the book of Acts. We're going to read 1-3. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? The first sin against the Holy Spirit is lying to the Holy Spirit. Two times in this text, he said in verse 3 and again in verse 4, thou hast lied, not unto to men, but unto God. You say, oh, Pastor, I've never done that. Did you know this man, you know, what he gave, it wouldn't have mattered if he had given a portion. He wasn't responsible to give all of it. But what he was doing is he wanted the church to believe. He wanted the leadership to believe that he had sold the parcel of land and was bringing all of it. He was being deceptive. And so lying to the Spirit, let me apply that for us in 2022. Lying to the Spirit is pretending to be something that you are not. Now, before I go any further, I want to just go ahead and tell you, so you know. I'm trying to be as honest as I know how in these last days of my life and ministry. But I'm a mess. I am, and you are, and your loved ones are. There ain't a person in this room, the one that thinks you the most spiritual, you're the most prideful, and you need to get right with God. Amen. Well, that's really good. Thanks for coming and encouraging us all the way from North Carolina. No, here's what I want you to understand. I know me. You know you. And I know this. There have been times I've pretended to be something I'm not. I've walked in the church as the pastor of that church and projected something and not been honest or real. This week, if we're going to have revival, listen to me, and we can have it, we must be real. You know, there's that little four-letter word lie that we tell always when we ask people this question in our Christianese. How are you, brother? We are fine. When sometimes we're not fine. You know, the first step is being real. Number one, one major sin against the Holy Ghost is lying or pretending, going through the motions. Just keep on going through the motions. But no passion, no joy, no love. Number one, lying to the Holy Spirit. Look at number two. In the same text, this one jumped out at me the other day. The Bible says in verse 8, and Peter answered, 3 hours later she comes in, his wife. Verse 8, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. In other words, they had agreed together to lie. Then Peter said unto her, here's a new sin. How is it that ye have agreed together, here it is, to tempt the Holy Spirit? Well, Pastor, what in the world would it mean to tempt the Holy Ghost? Well, I meditated on it. Here's what I believe the Lord is leading me to say to you today. It's testing Him or trying Him. In other words, here's what she was thinking very possibly. I can't imagine Him bringing discipline to me. He won't discipline me. He won't bring judgment in my life. I can get by with this. Nothing. I won't face any kind of recourse for this. It was a test. It's one thing to test me. It's another thing to test the Holy Spirit who loves us, who wants to fill this room and wants to fill this city and fill your family, to lie to Him and not be honest and pretend, and then to tempt or to test Him or try Him basically by saying, I don't believe He'll bring discipline in my life. You know, we're living in the generation, and I feel like I may end up preaching this week, where we just don't fear God. We just don't fear God. And that has a positive side, but it has a negative side as well. Let me give you two more real quick before we go. Number one, you can lie to the Holy Spirit. And for the record, right now, if the Holy Spirit's starting to convict you and show you a little of this in your life, before you shut it down, make excuses in your head, rationalize. Oh, some of you are great at it, aren't you? Boy, we're good at rationalizing. I just want us to be honest, pretending. The second sin is tempting the Holy Ghost or testing Him, say, I can get by with it. Number three, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 and 31 is the third one. It's grieving the Holy Spirit. The word grieve here, Ephesians chapter 4, if you want to look at it with me, carries the idea of making sad or sorrowful. Here again, I sure don't want to make anybody who loves me sad. I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to make them sorrowful. We just found out how much the Holy Spirit loves us. Well, let's look at what makes Him sad, what makes Him sorrowful. Ephesians 4, verse 30. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Well, what grieves you, Holy Spirit? Look at verse 31. Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking. Look at the next verse. And be kind one to another. You know, when we're unkind, it grieves the Spirit. Tenderhearted. When we're hard-hearted, it grieves the Spirit. Forgiving one another. When we're unforgiving, it grieves the Holy Spirit. You could go up to verse 25 and find out that lying grieves the Spirit, and anger in verse 26 grieves the Spirit, and wrath and taking things that don't belong to you grieve the Spirit. Corrupt communication. This whole text lends itself to what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit. But bottom line, you know what grieves the Spirit? Anything that isn't about loving God and loving others. Things that are sin that we know. Listen to me. This is an awareness for me. I really, every morning I say, Lord, search me all over from yesterday morning till right now. I want to know, what opportunity did I miss? Who was I supposed to love? Who was I supposed to speak to? Who was I supposed to call? Lord, was I supposed to pay for that woman's groceries that was in front of me? Holy Spirit, was I supposed to tell someone about Jesus? God, would you show me? Finally, the last one that I'll share with you that a Christian can can do is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, one of the shortest verses in all the Bible, in verse 19. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. We can lie to the Holy Spirit. We can tempt the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. But listen to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. Pastor, how do you quench the Spirit? To quench the Spirit suggests extinguishing a fire. Extinguishing a fire. You know, I wonder how many times, we're going to find out when we get to heaven, God was beginning something in a morning service or a prayer meeting or a Sunday school class. And by the way, revival breaks out in all kinds of small and large environments. Wonder how many times that began and one man or one woman unwilling to deal with their sin quenched that fire from continuing to burn. I love to see the fire burn. It has to start with one person or two or three. And then oftentimes when we're honest and we're real, then the fire just catches and it burns through the week, and through the weeks, and through the months. I'll tell you stories of great revivals this week. Look, I know there are some things that are strongholds in your life. I know some of you really love God and you want to serve Him, but there's some walls and there's some issues. What if God wanted to remove those? What if He wanted to work in all of those this week? What if He wanted to change the economy of your family and your home? What if we wanted to give you back the love and the passion that you used to have in your home and in your marriage? What if God wanted to do that this week? I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is the one who will bring that. In closing, I know this church knows well the gospel as it's preached faithfully in this pulpit week after week. But can I tell you, there may be one person here this morning that's committing the worst sin that's recorded against the Holy Spirit. I could read you the scripture about resisting the Spirit. I could read you the spirit about refusing the Spirit or insulting the Spirit in Hebrews 10. But in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, in fact, I feel led for us to look at it. We've got a couple minutes. Matthew, chapter 12, verse 31 and 32, is a passage that frightens me. And if you're here without Jesus today, I hope it will bring conviction to your heart and draw you to the bleeding side of the Lamb of God. Matthew, chapter 12, in verse 31, the Bible says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. What sin, Pastor, what does that mean? What sin is the sin that will not be forgiven? What sin would take a man or a woman to hell? There's only one. It's the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you what it is. It's when the Holy Spirit comes, like in a service like this, and He shows you Jesus and how much Jesus loves you and how much the Father loves you and how much He loves you, and He points you to the cross for hope. And though He's knocking at your door, you resist. And then the next time you resist and you hear the knocking a little softer, and you keep resisting and you reject. I talked about the resistance and the refusal. But finally you reject the Spirit of God's conviction. And you reject the gospel. The Bible says that sin will not be forgiven. And a man or a woman or a young person, as much as it grieves us to say it, who blasphemes or resists the Holy Spirit, refuses the Holy Spirit, will die without Jesus and spend eternity in hell. I pray there's nobody like that here today. If today you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to do something so radical, so old-fashioned. I want to invite you to come forward, take the pastor by the hand or one of these leaders, and say, I'm coming today to give my heart to Jesus Christ. No more rejection for me. If the Holy Spirit loves me and the Father loves me and Jesus loves me, I want to become a part of the family of God. Christians, I won't give a public response invitation unless God speaks to you. If he does, I invite you to come. But I have one of those coming in a dramatic way in a couple of services. Tonight, I'm going to give you a template of what God is saying to me regarding this week. I'm going to follow a theme starting tonight, and I don't want you to miss any of it, that the Spirit of God has made clear. The Lord led me to preach on the Holy Spirit. We've got to be yielded to him in every service. It starts now. Can we say to him this morning in prayer and in time of invitation, Holy Spirit, I want to be honest with you. I never want to lie to you. I don't want to tempt you. I want to be filled with you. I don't want to grieve you. I will not quench you. This week will be my week to draw near to you. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Holy Spirit, I've done exactly what you said for me to do. And I know, Lord, the next part doesn't have anything to do with me. It's you. It's all you. And Holy Spirit, I pray for men and women. I pray for people that don't even know how close they are to a challenge or a tragedy or a rift in a relationship. I pray right now in their seats or here in these altars that we will draw nigh to you and we will ask you to forgive us. Lord, forgive me. I've grieved you. Lord, there are times that I've not been real and I've lied to you. And you knew it all the while and you still love me. I'm so grateful, Lord, for the gospel. But Lord, in Jesus' name, would you begin this morning what you want to complete this week in the life of this fellowship? Lord, if we could only see what you have in mind for us. So speak, Lord. We're listening. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. God has spoken to you. I invite you to just do what the Lord leads you to do in this service. Be obedient to him right where you are. Talk to him about what he's spoken to you about today.